Hello, everyone. It's Richard Lannan, and welcome back. We're here for Set for Success, where we help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. Recently, I heard a sales and marketing guru declare that in business, you need to be everywhere on the internet. Now, I don't know about you, but I learned a long time ago that where you need to be where it counts. For those, you know, those unique gathering places where your preferred clients hang out and hang out with them, hang out there. But here's the thing. The internet is a big place. I mean, it's global, right? And we all know that now. We know that a click of a button, we're on the other side of the world at no time at all, right? But it does create a bit of a level playing field for small business owners versus the big giant retailers or big business owners. Just listen to some of my guests on the show. Many successful small business people have found a way to leverage social media and the internet to make their business better. They've had a lot of success, but I bet you there's also a lot of failure out there too. We maybe don't hear about that so much, but I also suspect that business people are scratching their heads, wondering how to tame the beast, you know, known as the internet and social media. And I suspect it has something to do with content. Content placed in the right place at the right time with the right message. But one can never be too sure, and I wonder about social media and content overall, because if you think about it, blogging is a lot of work, and doing a regular podcast, that's a lot of work. It's got to be a lot of work to do a regular YouTube video, and to be on Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook and other social media groups or whatever you call them, organizations. I just wonder about timing and content and audience and whether it's working. Maybe it's too much. Maybe you're not doing enough. Also, I wonder how content turns into sales, or how you make content turn into sales. Sometimes I think internet and social media is like a box of chocolates. You just never know what you're going to get. To quote Forrest Gump, I know, I'm pulling from Forrest Gump there. Hopefully we can shed some light on this with our social media expert and internet guru today, my guest, Allison Shane. Allison, welcome to the show.
Hi.
It's good to say hi, Allison. Hello. I know you're a little bit nervous there and everything, little giggles and everything. Allison, I had the opportunity to read up a little bit about you on the internet and everything, and I know that you've gotten into social media, but before we start to jump into that, tell us a little bit about Allison. Like, who is Allison Shane?
I'm about the biggest nerd you'll ever meet.
And biggest nerd. Well, yeah, okay, that's fair enough.
Well, primarily I'm a writer. So I have been publishing content online in some form or another since 2003. I was a GeoCities user. I used LiveJournal way back in the day.
So GeoCities user and LiveJournal.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to have to define those things for our listeners.
Don't worry, I'm going to get to it.
Oh, okay.
So GeoCities and LiveJournal are kind of the precursors to a Blogger or WordPress or contemporary blogging platforms.
And what we call now today. So we were chatting a little bit about you, and you described yourself as the biggest nerd ever. I just love that. I have my youngest boy, that's how he describes himself too. So I'm like right away, two thumbs up on that one. So tell us a little bit about your history. I mean, you are a Winnipegger, born and raised and that. So tell us a little about you in terms of your history.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm born and raised in Winnipeg. I did a brief stint where I lived in Hamilton, Ontario, and then came back. And I originally was going to move away. I was like, no, I'm going to go to Toronto. It's where all the opportunity is. And I started going to the University of Winnipeg, where I graduated with a BA a couple of years ago. And I took this amazing History of Winnipeg class, and I started nerding out about Winnipeg. And when I say that I'm a nerd is that I get really, really into whatever I'm into.
Okay.
Whether that's video games or writing or my client contracts or a cool article that I found, I just go completely, pardon the expression, balls to the wall with it.
Okay. So you get right into it
really overall. Into it.
Now, when you went to the University of Winnipeg, I take it, what kind of degree did you get?
I have a degree in rhetoric and communication.
So rhetoric and communication.
I studied writing.
Oh, you studied writing. What's so unique about rhetoric and communication? Like, why rhetoric, I guess?
Well, I mean, rhetoric is persuasive language, and everybody uses it in some form or another, right? Politicians, businesses, everybody. And going to university and studying it in a formal way really helped me understand and appreciate how we talk to each other.
Okay. So it's really all about dialogue that you're actually creating.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually quite an interesting sort of area of study, because when you said rhetoric originally, I never thought about in terms of influencing people. But I guess in terms of being a social media and internet guru or nerd, whichever one you know, I'm not comfortable with the word guru, eh? You know, I guess in terms of working with your clients, you probably are providing a language to help them influence their potential customers or communications overall.
Totally. I mean, that's one of the things when I meet with a new client, one of the things we do is we talk about the tone that they want to use with their customers. I put together buyer profiles for them so we can help identify keywords that people will respond to. I do a lot of research on my end to help them figure out the best way to say something that sounds authentic and genuine and conveys their brand's message.
Now, the internet's a pretty darn big place. I mean, when you think about in terms of social media, so we're going to really talk about social media in this particular program, and I guess rhetoric, we'll talk about that too, now that you got me using that word. but when you think in terms of different social media platforms, where is it that you find that businesses are tending to focus themselves at this point in time?
Well, it really depends on the business. I would say the big three are probably Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Yes.
In my opinion, every business should have a Facebook page. It's an easy way for people to find you, even if you're one of my big pet peeves in Winnipeg is a lot of restaurants don't have their own web pages. But if you have a Facebook page, that provides me with at least a tiny bit of information about your business and a place that everybody can find it.
Yeah, and that's a sort of a way to be able to be available. What about Twitter? What's the importance of having a Twitter account?
Well, okay, there's a lot of different opinions about where Twitter is going right now. The current CEO Jack Dorsey hasn't been doing an amazing job at leading the company. I still see a lot of value in it. In fact, a lot of the clients and the opportunities that I've had professionally come from my Twitter presence. People know me because I'm kind of locally, I'm big on Twitter.
Okay.
And from a business side of things, it provides you with an opportunity to connect with people without them having to come to you. So in order for a user to see your content on a Facebook page, for example, they have to like your Facebook page.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah,
you can't talk to them. On Twitter, you can just tweet at somebody. And one of the things that I do for my clients is we engage in conversations. And the way that I try and think about Twitter is Twitter's kind of like a big party. When you go to a big party, you don't really know anybody. And then you can kind of identify like niches within that party to talk to.
In the party itself. Okay, you know what we're going to do, Allison? We're going to take a short break. When we come back, maybe what we'll do is we'll talk about identifying different parties within Twitter and how it's all segmented. That might really help our listeners.
Yeah.
This is Richard Lannan. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Yeah, I'm hanging out today with my new best friend, Allison Shane. You know, during the break, I actually called her Shane Allison, and I got my hand slapped, and so I'm sorry about that.
It happens a lot.
It happens a lot. I know, you got such a cool name, Allison Shane. Like, what a cool name.
You know, it's funny. I grew up really hating it.
Really?
People used to make fun of me. They used to call me Allison in Wonderland.
Oh, yeah.
And I had all these friends with these really weird, like, kind of like, you know, lots of Ukrainians and stuff with lots of really big, intense-sounding names. And then I realized as I got older, and when I got online, having an easy to remember name and like Allison Shane, it kind of just works.
It does.
And people really
kind
of gravitate to
it. It does sort
it.
Of work. Yeah. when Jody introduced us, your friend with what organization? She's with Bison.
She's with Bison. Yeah.
Yeah. Introduced us, and I sort of looked at your name, and went, "Oh, that's sort of cool. I think I'll look this person up here." You know, and it didn't take long to Google your name and find your website and everything. Just before the break, we were talking about Twitter, and you said an interesting thing about Twitter, and I never heard it explained this way. Because I tell you what, I'm one of those people that I'm out in social media. Like, if you were to throw my name into Google, you'd find lots of stuff on me.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to think so. So you should test it sometime for me and let me know.
I did.
You did.
You're there.
I'm there, right? But I Twitter is still a mystery to me, you know, and I probably don't use it the best. And you started saying, you know, Twitter is like a big party or something, and there's all sorts of different parties you could join. And the business person in me right away went, oh, that's market segmentation, right?
Totally.
So maybe you could just explain Twitter to us a little bit more in detail so we understand what it is.
Okay, so the thing with Twitter is when you first log on and you're first trying to find people to follow, it can become really overwhelming because you just have this like giant timeline of stuff.
It's just
right?
Everything is everywhere, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And so what I always say to people is find a couple of people that you want to follow. So I don't follow a lot of news organizations myself. I tend to follow people. But watch who they interact with and look for local hashtags. So people who use the hashtag Winnipeg, for example, are generally living here or talking about stuff relating to Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
There are also a lot of Twitter chats that happen. So a Twitter chat is a conversation usually moderated by somebody that's organized around a specific topic that happens at a specific time with, you know, interested parties who just show up and kind of talk about
stuff.
Yeah,
and so if they're interested in hockey or they're interested in the Winnipeg Jets, so it might be, I'm going to just use something local,
right? I don't know if there's a Jets chat, but that's a good example.
Yeah, but that's an example, right? Mm-hmm. Something that people might overall be interested in or could be, lately the big news if you're a sports fan would be the World Series, right? I mean, that would be huge, you know, and so, you know, that would that be potential chats? Would that make sense?
I would say, well, one-off events like the World Series tend to not have a chat around them because it's usually a successive, like you want to build your chat and have more and more people come to it so more people can find each other.
So it's like a topic that would be of interest to a lot of people over a long period of time.
A good example, a good local example would be the Women's Enterprise Center used to have a chat called, it was hashtag WECM chat, so Women's Enterprise Center chat.
Okay.
And they had it every Tuesday at 1. And it was for female business owners to come and talk about what it's like to be a female business owner.
Challenges. Challenges and successes and those kind of things. So are there some really popular chats that you can give us some examples of that come to mind? Maybe the ones that you follow.
One of the ones that I really enjoy that I just started getting into is called Engagers. And it's hashtag ENGAGORS.
Okay.
And it's kind of at a wonky time. It's at 7 a.m. on Thursdays because it's held in Europe. The guy who hosts it is in London, so he's a few hours ahead of us. But people come together and they're all really supportive. And when you show up and you say, like, hi, I'm here, I'm tuning in for the first time, everyone piles on and they're like, oh, welcome to the chat. It's so great to talk to you. What do you do? Tell us about how we can help each other. By and large, in my experience at least, most people online are very supportive and looking to help each other.
Yeah. It's funny you would say that, actually, in terms of Twitter, because when I think in terms of media, sometimes what we do is we hear the negative things, right? I mean, it's you know, so-and-so posted such and such and 10,000 people attacked them. Mm-hmm. You know, is that a sort of a common occurrence?
I have been very fortunate that I have really not encountered a lot of that personally. I was stalked kind of by an ex-boyfriend on Twitter a little bit. But I have never had that sort of crazy pile on. But I think that people being behind a screen can sometimes bring out the worst in us.
Yes.
And somebody who is angry can easily type out something and then just forget about it and not think about the implications that it has on that person.
Yeah, they hit send without sort of taking that 24-hour, 40-minute breather, then maybe they should take a break. In terms of Twitter, I mean, I know that you've mentioned now about hashtags and you've heard and mentioned about chat. In what way can businesses use Twitter to, I guess, connect with or communicate with their preferred clientele or their audience? I'll just call it audience in general
audience
for right now.
Audience is the best word.
Is the best word?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I use audience. So earlier I was talking about how it's kind of a party, right? And there are different people who are interested in different things. Twitter allows you to have a conversation. So as a business, if I as a business person reach out to a potential client, they know that I'm trying to sell them something right away, right? But Twitter allows you to have conversations. So one of the things that I do with my clients is we'll congratulate people on work anniversaries or comment on their photos and show that there are people behind the business. One of the things that social media does really well is it demonstrates that there are thoughtful, caring people behind the businesses that want to provide a service or sell you something.
Mm-hmm. I often wonder about authenticity. How do you come across as being very authentic when you're using something like social media? In this case, Twitter is what we're talking about.
A lot of that comes down to your brand voice. So it's understanding what you want to say to your audience. So, you know, what your messages are, what you're trying to sell them and all that. And to be honest about the fact that you are trying to sell and promote something, but also to just be positive and helpful. Content marketing is sort of this branch off of social media that's really become important. And content marketing is, social media is all of the social platforms, right? Content marketing has to do with supplementing your advertising with helpful things that make you sort of a pro. So we'll go with Bison Fire, for example. Bison has a blog. They have a blog about fire safety and stuff. And when Rob Reed from Bison shares those blog posts, people can look at Bison and go, oh, okay, you know, they're not just trying to sell me stuff. They're trying to give me pertinent, helpful information.
Helpful information,
yeah.
Hopefully, in this case here, Bison Fire. And I'm a fan of Rob and so on. I know the company. Mm-hmm. They're trying to provide something that hopefully will prevent you know, fires, right, in terms of what they specialize in. We have to take a short break. So this is what we're going to do right now. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone. It's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and we're hanging out with Allison Shane, a social media and internet guru. You know, we're talking about what you need to do to be successful in your business or career or life, if you wish, from a social media perspective. And I think that's pretty cool itself. You know, think about all the things you can do in business. I know for myself, when I think in terms of social media, I think in terms of sometimes, my gosh, this is overwhelming, or wow, this is a lot of work, or, you know, what do I really need to do and where do I need to focus for my organization? And I know that a lot of my guests have said the same thing. I know that some have wondered, they feel like they have to be everywhere, and other feel like they just want to be somewhere, or they don't know where to be. So there's always, always challenges. I suspect that often you got to work with somebody, maybe work together and try to unravel some of these issues or challenges that you're having with your social media and maybe establish some kind of communication direction for your organization. Now, I'm just learning some of this stuff. Now, I know some of this stuff already, but I always find that when it comes down to social media and marketing or developing a business, I always find it's interesting. I learn something new every time I interview a guest, especially an expert. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to come back shortly with Allison Shane, and we're going to talk a bit more about social media and the internet and how it can be used in your organization, and we'll rip some of these topics and myths apart. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. And Allison, I'm having a great time. That's Allison Shane. I'm having a great time talking about social media. Now, just before the break in our halftime, we were talking about Twitter, and we were breaking down the walls in Twitter a little bit more. And I think we were talking a bit more in terms of depth and in terms of how you can use Twitter on your business. In terms of other social media platforms, maybe we need to go back to Twitter a little bit, but you mentioned about Instagram too. And, you know, Instagram to me is like somewhere where young people hang out, you know, and I'm sort of, it's a bit of a mystery to me in terms of how you use Instagram in terms of part of your social media planning or your organization. So maybe tell us what Instagram is first and how you're using it or how your clients are using it.
Sure. So Instagram is a photo-based, it's a photo-sharing platform. So it's a social network where people post photos. Instagram recently introduced a section of it's a mobile app, by the way. There is a desktop version, but it's not really functional. You can just kind of look at pictures. It's a mobile phone based platform. And they recently introduced a thing called Instagram Stories. And Instagram Stories are kind of similar to Snapchat, which is another social network. And you can upload photos and video that disappear within 24 hours. Your regular Instagram feed is comprised of photos or short videos that are there. And they sort of they look like a mosaic on your profile. And the idea with Instagram is you are sharing snippets of your life. It's very visual heavy, right? It's a visual platform. So there's a lot of gorgeous photos, lots of really engaging short videos, a lot of makeup tutorials and stuff like that too people are moving towards, which is really interesting.
Okay. And so as an organization, though, would a business use Instagram in terms of providing value-added content or images or as a marketing platform?
It depends on the business. Okay. I work with a couple of clients where it's just not appropriate.
Okay.
Their businesses aren't very visually image heavy. I work with a couple of restaurants where we use Instagram really heavily. I'm currently working with the National Film Board for the What Brings Us Here project, which is an Instagram narrative about Indigenous-led activism in Winnipeg. So it's a photo essay, and the entire Instagram feed is just these series of photos with quotes from volunteers from Bear Clan Patrol or Drag the Red, and it tells a story.
Okay. So then now, is that one more permanent or is that one more, because you mentioned one was sort of permanent, right, profile almost, and another one is sort of, it's there for so long and then it disappears.
I'm speaking specifically about having an Instagram account and just the photos that are there. Mm. Some businesses definitely do use Instagram Stories. Peg Beer Co. Mm-hmm. Peg Beer does it really, really well. And there are some businesses that do.
So let's just break that down a little bit. So we take Peg Beer Co.
Yeah.
And we look at that as doing it successful. So what are they doing that makes it successful?
So one of the things that social media provides to your audience is sort of a glimpse into who you are as a business. And Instagram and Instagram Stories and the visual side of that is really, really effective because you're not just telling people. It's not just text. It's photos and video. And because Instagram Stories are so impermanent, people want to see it. They kind of they flock to it because they want to feel included. You know, you're part of the cool kids club if you see something that disappears within 24 hours.
Okay. So then if you're able to apply a very heavy visual approach to your marketing, to your organization, then this is something that might actually work for you. You mentioned that there are some businesses that you've worked with that is not right for. Now, without saying the companies or organizations, are there certain industries, or can you give us an example where it might not be appropriate?
Honestly, I think it depends on your level of creativity. If okay. you are like a mechanic shop, for example. I don't work with any, but I wouldn't really care about the behind the scenes in a mechanic shop, personally. That's just me. No offense to mechanics.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is that that's not this beautifully visual, engaging kind of content, right? Working on cars or something is important and valuable, but you probably don't want to see what a mechanic is doing behind the scenes all day.
Yeah, and I guess the way that I would probably put it, just a spin and opposite on that one, maybe involved in specialized areas like hot rod building or paint shops, which are doing incredibly creative paint jobs on automobiles and bring you through that whole process that how did they get that automobile to look the way it is.
And that's definitely, there are specific instances. There are exceptions to everything that
I'm
saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What I'm saying is not set in stone.
Yeah. That's why I'm trying to give you the sort of the opposite there, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking on the fly. Now, one of the statements I often hear is, because you mentioned about Facebook too, or I did, is that only old people hang out there. I said I was going to go after some of the social media myths, and I'm going to use you to do this. tell me about that statement. What do you think of that statement?
It's partially true.
Okay.
I wouldn't say it's exclusively old people. I'm going to be, I'll be 29 next week.
I know. You're a young one. You're like millennium or generation
Y. I'm a millennial.
Y.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Shh, don't tell anybody.
That's
nobody likes
that. That's all right. No, actually I do, because I'm envious of your generation's technology savvy, right? So I think every generation has something to offer, and I think it's one of the things that your generation offers to my generation.
I agree with that 100%.
So there you go.
So getting back to Facebook, I would say probably like my parents, sort of an older generation, and then sort of I don't know a lot of really young people, like in their young, like early 20s and younger, that are really heavily on Facebook. They tend to be more on Instagram and Snapchat and things that are more visual based.
Okay.
And a lot of what I do with my clients is we identify who they're trying to sell to and where they are on social media.
And where they hang out, where their clients hang out.
Yep.
So if they're, and I know we're using this word older very in a very liberal way.
It's a very, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, what does that exactly mean? Mm-hmm. Are the boomers, are we talking about Generation Xers, you know, like that kind of thing. But I guess it does come down to defining exactly where your clientele hang out, mm-hmm. or they're most likely to hang out, and then going after that platform. Does that make sense?
Yep, that's exactly right.
One of the areas I want to get into is actually content marketing with you. I mean, I know that there's a lot going on with content marketing. So maybe what we can do is we'll take a short break. We'll come back and we'll talk about what exactly is content marketing. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, but you knew that already. Now, I've been hanging out with my new best friend, Allison Shane, and Allison is a social media internet type guru, particularly in the social media side, and we've been having a great chat about some of the social media sites, and I just call them sites, Allison, but I think, what would you call them, organizations?
I would call them a platform.
Platform.
Platform or network.
It's platform and network, so some of the social media platforms and that. Now, one of the interesting things is we were dialoguing about who hangs out where, like Facebook versus Instagram versus Twitter, etc. You use the word content marketing sort of in the conversation, but I never really asked you what content marketing is.
So content marketing is the practice of supplementing your business's marketing efforts with content that isn't directly relating to your business. So that could be writing blog posts, sharing content that you find online, interacting with other people, hosting a Twitter chat, basically doing things that are supplemental content to the singular marketing message that your business
that
has.
You offer.
Yeah.
Now, is content marketing, part of content marketing is it about providing value-added content? Is that a good way to word it?
Yeah. Basically, in the age of social media, you want your prospective clients or customers to think of you as a resource. You want them to see you on an ongoing basis, providing positive, helpful information that doesn't always have a sales pitch attached to it. That's kind of what you want to do these days.
Yeah. And so that's actually quite an interesting thing, the sort of going further, because often I think sometimes in business we're taught that we need to do a sales pitch all the time. But so if you're not doing a sales pitch, then how does content marketing turn into sales?
So this is described as a soft push.
Okay, soft push.
Yeah, and so what that means is, I'm going to use Bison Fire as an example, because
yeah, sure.
Everyone knows
them already. Yeah.
So Bison is trying to sell a specific product or service, but if all you ever see from Bison's Facebook or Twitter feed is buy from Bison, buy from Bison, buy from Bison, you're not going to care.
Rob
right?
will be glad you said that, by the way.
anyway, I'm sure he'll be thrilled.
Yeah, but anyway.
But so you're not going to care. You're going to feel like all Bison Fire wants you to do is buy from them. Which is, to some extent true, but by sharing information, creating their own blog posts, talking about industry news, you see Bison come up on your feed in ways that don't feel salesy and pushy. And as you see them over time and have these positive interactions with them, you start to think about them in a positive way. You start to trust them.
Yeah. So we'll take that into another context. So mm-hmm. A car dealership could do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And we could pick anything from Ford, Chev, to Honda, to Nissan or whoever, right? Mm-hmm. So that we're just being, but they could basically do the same thing in terms of providing product or information regarding things that are happening.
The more helpful information you can share, the better.
Yes.
And the more information you can share that doesn't directly relate to you making a sale, the better. Because when you do eventually ask your customer to buy from you, your customer will have seen all of these positive, helpful things and will already trust you. And we'll go, I'm going to go buy a Nissan because I saw this great article that they shared, or I had a complaint and I tweeted at them and they responded to it very quickly.
When it comes to content marketing, does the material always have to be your own?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
And that's one of the things that businesses are afraid of, is they figure, a lot of people that I talk to go, well, why would I share somebody else's content? Why, it's not directly relating to me. But I'm a very big believer in pay it forward. And when it comes to social media and content marketing, paying it forward is very, very important. You want to establish trust and positive feelings and show that you're not just looking out for yourself. You're looking out for everybody.
Yeah, okay. That makes a lot of sense. That sounds like it's almost like creating a cultural brand for yourself, mm-hmm. or something. So often when you're working with clients, you guys talk about branding?
Yep. We talk about branding. And I mentioned earlier putting together buyer profiles. I have a series of questions that I ask every new client. And we go through to determine what their goals are with all of their marketing, who they're targeting, and most importantly, how they can help. How they can help their client or their customers figure out, solve a problem in their life by either providing a service or selling them a product.
Okay, so that's an interesting way, because often we're in business to help other people. I mean, I think that's one of the things that most people miss. They go, oh, you're in business to make money. But often it comes down to, like when I interview a lot of CEOs, it comes down to helping people solve problems and creating relationships with people. So that tends to be the two things that a lot of my CEO guests sort of say extremely important. Interestingly, we started talking about branding, because during the break, we were talking about your own company, too. You're going through a rebrand, too, aren't you?
I am. So I've been freelancing for about 3 years, and I've been running my business, which is called Starling Social, full-time for about a year and a half.
Okay.
I've been running it under my own name for quite some time, but I have a perception problem where people assume that it's just me, and I'm the only person. I actually work with subcontractors on a regular basis to help me manage all of the stuff I need to do. Social media is very time consuming.
Very time consuming.
So I work with subcontractors to help me. But when I speak to a prospective client, the first thing they ask me is, how many clients do you have?
Yes.
And in their head, what they're thinking is, she's just one person. How yes. many can she do? So I'm in the process of expanding this myself, which has been a really interesting process.
So you're going through that too. Mm-hmm. So Starling Social?
That's right.
And
yeah.
Starling Social. So why did you call the company Starling?
Well, a starling is a mimic, and it's a bird, right? So
yes.
I'm kind of playing off of Twitter a little bit. But they're a mimic and they're a songbird, if I'm not mistaken. And I wanted to pick a bird that was beautiful. It's a gorgeous bird. And they travel in these big groups called murmurations. So they're a very communal bird. And I thought a lot of those implications around that specific animal played into my business really, really well.
Yeah, okay. So Starling social media or Starling social. Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense because social media has a lot to do with being or creating a community. Mm-hmm. We've been talking a bit about the content side and everything. One of the things we didn't really bring on in terms of platforms is LinkedIn. Do you do a lot of work with LinkedIn? I mean, is that part of it? Your clients tend to be involved in that too?
I've done a little bit of LinkedIn work here and there, but I find that the benefit from LinkedIn tends to come from an individual's own actions. It's rather hard to build an Instagram following for your business page unless you already have a lot of people who care about it or you're a very well-known brand. So we were talking about Nissan earlier. Nissan's LinkedIn page probably has, you know, tens of thousands of people who were really into Nissan.
Yeah.
But a lot of that comes from personal networking. So LinkedIn depends on you connecting with other people and bringing those connections to your page.
And the other social media platforms don't?
Not necessarily. I find that LinkedIn is a little more private. It's a more professional network. So it's mostly for professionals to connect with one another and to try and promote their businesses through their own efforts and through their own name, as opposed to Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or any of those, where by and large, you are promoting your business as itself.
You know what? This is fascinating. You've given us a lot of information around social media, things that I've often wondered about, and I suspect some of my guests have wondered about too. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll sort of sum everything up. This is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello, this is Richard Land for Set for Success, and what a show we've been having. I've been hanging out with Allison Shane. Allison, you know what? I really appreciate the information you shared with us about social media. I learned things about social media today that I thought I knew that I didn't know, so that was a really good thing. If you had a last point or thought for our listeners, what would it be?
Social media isn't scary.
Okay, that's good.
A lot of the people that I speak to who aren't already on social media feel intimidated and they're scared to hear what people say and they're scared to have those conversations. But the trick is to just get out there and be positive and be yourself. And if you're worried about it, there are always people like me that are out there who will help you.
They help you out. How does somebody get in touch with you, Allison?
They can find me on my website at starling.social.
Starling.social. I love it. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success. And you know what, Allison, I'd like to thank you for hanging out with me today. It's been great. You've got a full of energy. I love it. Obviously, listeners, thank you for tuning in on behalf of CJOB. And you know what, if you've got an idea for a show or a question or something, a thought or a guest you might have on, just send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And as usual, do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.